This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hey, we got Mother's Day coming up this weekend. So make sure you are getting her the ultimate pass to relaxation, renewal, and pure self-care bliss with our Odyssey Self-Care Passport. Enjoy 13 incredible experiences at select spas, gyms, and wellness centers valued at over $1,400 at over 70% savings, $375. Check that out. Go to getmyperks.com to get yours while supplies last. Sal Capaccio here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Always great to catch up with Ryan Green from 1010XL down in Jacksonville. And we have a good reason to, because Gabe Davis was released by the Jags yesterday. Kind of happened, it's a little over 24 hours ago, right before I came on the air yesterday here at 10 a.m. I was on with Joe DiBiase in the morning. It happened, and we're right away like, okay, tying some things together. Should he come back to Buffalo? We've had some really good conversations about it. Figured I'd get with Ryan and ask him, where did it go wrong after 1 year in Jacksonville with Gabe Davis? You're also down in Disney World, and I feel so bad taking you away from your lovely wife and child, man. Thank you for doing this today.
Sal, no problem, man. I need a break from Mickey Mouse for about 10 minutes, so I almost appreciate you.
You got it. Okay, well, we won't keep you too long then today, but I do want to ask you exactly what went wrong with Gabe Davis. How did the Jaguars get to this point after only 1 year with him?
Well, I mean, it was an injury-plagued year last year for him. I'll be honest. I know I talked to you on my show when they signed Gabe Davis. I was really high on Gabe Davis. A lot of people were coming back to his home state. His family was going to be able to come see him, and training camp was great. You know, preseason was great, and it just did not translate at all in the regular season. And the interesting thing was Gabe Davis's best game as a Jaguar was the loss in London to Chicago, where he actually caught two touchdown passes. But in that same game, Sal, he dropped two touchdown passes, and it became very clear very quickly that Gabe Davis, the expectations we all had, were kind of going out the window at that point. He got injured about 3 or 4 weeks later. It's a brutal knee injury against Detroit, missed the rest of the year. And we'll go down here in Jacksonville. I think it's a legit conversation that he's got to be in the top 10, maybe the top 5 of worst free agent signings the Jaguars have ever made. 1 year, 20 catches, 200-some-odd yards, a couple of touchdowns, 3 year, $39 million contract. It just simply did not work with Gabe Davis and the Jaguars.
Okay, so they're moving on, eating a lot of money. If they don't have the regime change, do they do this, or is that also part of this?
No, I think the regime change is probably part of it. They're getting rid of as many Trent Baalke guys as they possibly can, which is a good thing because the Jaguars have been the worst organization in football for the better part of 12 to 15 years. James Gladstone, the 34-year-old general manager, Liam Cohen, the 39-year-old head coach, they've put their stamp on this organization. They were the most active team in free agency. But, Sal, they didn't overspend in free agency. They talked about wanting to raise the floor of the roster, and I certainly think they've done that. They bring in guys like Eric Murray, bring in a guy like Robert Hainsey from Tampa, Patrick McCarry on the offensive line from Buffalo. Obviously, they make the big splash with Travis Hunter in the draft. Major roster turnover, major rebuild underway here in Jacksonville. But it's a rebuild with Trevor Lawrence, with Brian Thomas Jr., with Joshua Hines-Allen, with Trayvon Walker, now with Travis Hunter. So even though I do think it's a rebuild, Sal, it's a rebuild with a lot of names that a lot of NFL fans know very well.
from Buffalo, Mitch Morse, last year as well. He actually kind of blasted the Jags organization in a way on Twitter yesterday for saying, I don't get this. Gabe Davis, such a culture guy. He played injured, all that kind of stuff that he talked about that, you know, people who are in the locker room are going to say. But in the meantime, Mitch Morse, 1 year, he retires. What was that signing like for the Jags last year?
Yeah, Mitch Morse was fine. He was an improvement for where they were the year prior with Luke Fortner. But again, nothing great. How great can you be at 4-13? There were a couple instances where Mitch Morse got blown off the ball in short yardage and the Jaguars would fail on a 3rd-and-1 or a 4th-and-1 because of it. Not to begrudge Mitch Morse. He's a veteran player. I thought he was a fine 1-year signing. And I saw that yesterday. I think Gabe Davis is just his guy. He talked about that when they both came here. They were buddies. They were happy. They both came to Jacksonville together. So I think he was just defending his guy on social media. But I can tell you, the Jaguar fan base was pretty happy at the Gabe Davis news yesterday because the Jaguar fan base really loves what James Gladstone and this new staff is doing here.
All right, so let's talk about that a little bit. The new staff, the new regime, they have the big swing in the draft. They trade up for Travis Hunter. What's been the reaction to that? And, you know, how do you think it works out for this team, giving up all that draft capital? And then what is Travis Hunter's role?
It's been overwhelmingly positive. I mean, overwhelmingly positive. And look, people say they gave up a lot to get Travis Hunter. Yeah, in a sense that they did, but a lot of that hay is in the barn, Sal. I mean, the Cleveland got the 2nd-round pick, which they took Quinshon Judkins, the running back from Ohio State. They got a 4th-round pick where they took Dylan Sampson from Tennessee. But Jacksonville actually improved their 4th-round pick. Cleveland gave them their 4th-round pick. So they improved 20 spots. Jaguars took Michelle Tootin, the running back from Va Tech. The big sticking point is going to be that first rounder next year. If Jacksonville's bad, and if that's a top 10 pick in 2026, then Cleveland absolutely won the trade. But if Jacksonville's good in a bad AFC South, and the AFC South is bad, and the Jaguars maybe, I don't know, win the division, and that draft pick is 25th, 26th, 27th, then I think people will argue that Jacksonville won the trade. So to me, it was worth the risk. James Gladstone and Liam Cohen wanted to come in and make a splash, and boy, did they ever when they brought in the Heisman Trophy winner. Imagine a tandem, Travis Hunter on one side, Brian Thomas Jr. on the other. If Trevor Lawrence can stay healthy, that's what people are salivating about here in Jacksonville.
Okay, I want to touch on that wide receiver point, but let's stay on Travis Hunter. How much does he play on defense? I mean, you go up to get him where they did, to me that means you're going to use this guy as much as possible, giving up that capital. Does he play both ways?
Yeah, I think the idea is he's going to be a primary wide receiver.
Okay.
And I think he's going to work in maybe 15, 20 snaps on defense, obvious passing downs, 3rd-and-long, red zone, things along those lines. I do think he is going to play on both sides, but by no way do I think he's going to be a starter on both sides. I think he is a starting wide receiver and maybe a dime corner, or like I said, maybe coming in a 2-minute drill. If the opposing team has to throw the ball, Travis Hunter will be in there, maybe on their best receiver, something along those lines. He will play on both sides, but he will be a primary offensive guy here in Jacksonville, at least to start out.
All right, stay on the offense there. Diami Brown, a nice pickup, a nice free agent wide receiver for them. A lot of people here in Buffalo wanted the Bills to be interested in that. How does that work with him? You know, where does he fit in? And then talk about the running back position, because that was a spot where in the draft, Ryan, people thought that the Jags were going to go up and get Ashton Jeanty. They did not. Travis Etienne still the main running back with Tank Bigsby as well.
Yeah, Diami Brown's probably the reason Gabe Davis is no longer here, because Diami Brown was going to be above Gabe Davis on the depth chart, which was another reason. Well, Gabe Davis at best was going to be wide receiver 4 or wide receiver 5, making all that money, and he's not going to play special teams. Right. So that's another reason why, and I don't particularly know if Gabe Davis is fully healthy either from that knee injury, which is another issue. But they love Diami Brown. I mean, you cannot see or say enough good things about Diami Brown from what I hear coming out of Jaguar OTAs and off-season conditioning. As far as the running back situation, Travis Etienne is probably coming into his final year here in Jacksonville. They got Tank Bigsby, who they like, but they drafted 2 running backs. I mentioned Bashel Tootin from Virginia Tech. He was the fastest running back in the draft, ran a 4.32 at the combine. They also got this kid, LaQuint Allen, out of Syracuse.
I know him well. I'm a Syracuse guy.
I imagine you probably do. I had to look this number up again, Sal. 64 catches out of the backfield last year. Absolutely insane. They think they got a steal with LaQuint Allen. So they are very, very happy with Tootin and Allen out of that draft class.
Yeah, I'm a LaQuint Allen fan. He did a lot for Syracuse last year, and Kyle McCord in the backfield and helping him out for sure, no doubt about that. All right, where is this organization with Trevor Lawrence? There's been a lot of smoke. What's true? What's fact? What's fiction?
I mean, he's the guy, obviously. They invested in him. It'd be nice to get him some stability. This is going to be his fifth year in the league, and if you go back to Clemson the last 6 years, this will be his fourth head coach and his fourth offensive coordinator. So that's obviously not a good recipe. They love Liam Cohen. Liam Cohen brought in a young staff, Grant Yudinski, a 29-year-old offensive coordinator. Obviously, James Gladstone, a GM, is putting talent around Trevor with Brian Thomas, with Travis Hunter, with De'Ami Brown. And now it's on Trevor. Trevor's going to have to go produce. They've spent money in free agency on the offensive line. They drafted two offensive linemen 2 weeks ago. So it's going to be on Trevor now, but they're doing what they can to surround him with talent. And he finally has a young, innovative mind on offense. Nothing against Doug Peterson, but I think the game might have passed him by a little bit. The Jaguar offense was very stale last year. Liam Cohen, with what he did with Baker Mayfield in Tampa, that's got a lot of people here pretty excited.
Where are they with Trayvon Walker? Same question. A lot of smoke around that as well leading up to the draft.
Yeah, Trayvon Walker is going to get extended. The life of me, I don't know why people have such hate on Trayvon Walker. Is he Aiden Hutchinson? No, probably not. But Trayvon Walker is a hell of a football player. Mm-hmm. The guy's had two double-digit sacks, back-to-back double-digit sack seasons. Trayvon Walker is a good football player. And I get that he's not Aiden Hutchinson, but if you blank out the names and just look at the stats combined when both guys have been healthy, it's not as disparaging as one might think. I think Trayvon Walker's a good football player, and I'm happy he's a Jaguar.
Where are they deficient on defense if they have to look at a spot where they kind of still have to do some more here, or maybe it's a concern going into 2025?
I think safety. I mean, they added Eric Murray. We'll see what happens. They added Caleb Ransaw out of Tulane in the third round. Safety might be a little bit of a concern, and they're banking on the interior D-line that they had last year. Mason Smith, Eric Armstead, Devon Hamilton, a little bit of Jordan Jefferson. They think the new change in staff, the new coordinator, the new defensive coaches will bring more out of the interior D-line than what they got a year ago.
All right, Ryan, before I let you go, new stadium in Jacksonville. Give us an update on that. We have one here being built in Buffalo. One more year inside this stadium. It's over 50 years old, and then the Bills will be inside their brand-new Highmark Stadium facility across the street. What is the latest update on what's going on in Jacksonville?
Full capacity here in Jacksonville in 2025. A limited capacity here in Jacksonville in 2026. Then in 2027, they're going to play in Orlando, it appears. That's not officially been announced yet, but my understanding is Orlando will be the home of the Jaguars for 2027. Brand new stadium opens up in 2028, and it is absolutely gorgeous. Construction has started a little bit. It'll obviously continue in the next year or two, but Orlando is where Jacksonville will probably land for the 2027 season before the Jaguar Stadium opens in 2028 in downtown Jacksonville.
Where are they going to play in Orlando?
Probably the Citrus Bowl or Camping World Stadium, as it's referred to, because that's the home of the Pro Bowl.
Yep.
Is it a great venue? It's okay. It's a lot better than it used to be. They've put some money in there. The thought maybe was Gainesville, where the Gators play, but the sidelines, the NFL's got a lot of weird rules, Sal, as you know. The sidelines have to be a certain length away from the crowd. The locker rooms have to be certain dimensions. And Gainesville struggled with a little bit of that. Orlando meets the criteria the NFL wants better. And Orlando's only about a 90-minute drive from Jacksonville.
Ryan, will they continue to go to London when all this happens, or is that still TBD?
That's TBD. I would imagine they probably will. There's been a lot of talk about that here in Jacksonville. My guess is they still will do one game in London, but again, that's up in the air with this brand-new stadium of the future, a $1.4 billion stadium of the future opening in 2028.
Ryan Green, you can follow him on Twitter, at RyanGreen1010XL. What's your favorite part about Disney, or what's your kid's favorite part about Disney?
Well, my little man's turning 6 years old weekend, so he just got tall enough, Sal, for Guardians of the Galaxy.
All right.
So we're gonna embark on that here in about an hour, and he's fired up for it.
Well, listen, tell him from all of us here in Buffalo, happy birthday to him. And listen, man, thank you so much for making time. I know when we communicated yesterday and you said you were down there, I felt bad. But for you to come on and do this during this weekend means a lot. Thank you so much.
Sal, you're the man. Anytime, brother.
All right, you got it. Ryan Green right there. Does a great job. Hacker. Hacker After Dark. Follow him on Twitter, at RyanGreen1010XL. He does a really, really nice job. One of my favorite follows when it comes to other media. Just kind of really does a great job of kind of laying it out for the Jacksonville Jaguars and college sports, too. He's a big college sports guy. Tweets about college and Georgia, but mostly Florida, Florida Gators, Florida State. You know, down there they have that game. You can't say it anymore. It's called the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. They kind of changed the official name because it was too much of a referring to drinking. And come on, what are we doing? We're paying millions of dollars now anyway. Everybody's going in the portal, going places. I'm not coming to spring practice unless you give me $2 million more dollars. But hey, let's not refer to it as the largest outdoor cocktail party. So stupid. Anyway, let's kind of take a little stock of some of the teams on the Bills schedule this year outside, because they're not playing Jacksonville. We had a caller who asked me a question earlier. Why is there no talk of the Bills playing internationally in Madrid this year? Are the Bills playing a game in Madrid this year? Because the question is, why couldn't they play the Dolphins there? The answer is they could. So to the person who called up earlier and said, why wouldn't they do that? I said, well, they can do that. They can play in Madrid. I guess the biggest reason why you don't think they would do it is because it's the Dolphins who are hosting it, and they're not going to put a division game over there. However, is it possible? Yes. Technically, rules-wise, like, it's possible they could do it. And good time to plug the podcast. It's always game day in Buffalo with Matt Bove and me. By the way, we got a special one coming up. I can't tell you what it is. We got a special one coming up really soon. Like, really soon. So make sure you're subscribed. You can go to my YouTube page, at Sal Sports. Hit the subscribe button, and as soon as it goes up, you'll get it. You can also just, if you like the audio part, not the video part, and like looking at us, you can subscribe on iTunes and Spotify and the Odyssey app and everywhere else. It's always game day in Buffalo. We got a special one coming up, but we had a really special one last month like we always do, and that is Mike North. Mike is one of the head schedule makers for the league. And I specifically asked Mike North, would you consider putting division games in Europe? And he's like, yeah. There's no rule that says they can't. In fact, let me look. I think there was, yes, history. Let me just look at the international games history, because I don't want to say this wrong, but I believe, speaking of the Jags, I think the Jags did play a division game or two in London over the years when they've been going over there. Let's see. Jags. Yeah, Jags-Colts. Here we go. Jags played the Colts in London in October of 2016. The Jags played, okay, and this is before, okay, so they started going in there, blah, blah, blah. Who else? And then they played, I think they had two of them, actually, if I remember correctly. They did play the Colts there one year. Did they play the Titans also? Did they play the Texans? There you go. Played the Texans there. The Jags have played two division games in London. Now, the Jags are a little different case. They go over there every year. They have this agreement. But there is nothing that says that you cannot play a division game. It is possible. I think the reason why people think it's not going to happen is it is Bills and Dolphins, and it would be weird to see that not played in Miami. That said, let's remember, the Buffalo Bills did play the Miami Dolphins in Toronto one year. Do you remember that? Josh, do you remember when the Bills-Toronto series? You can remember that. Remember when they played the Dolphins there, or no?
No, actually, I don't remember that at all. I remember the Seahawks one, but I don't remember the Dolphins one. When did that happen?
Bills played the Dolphins. Let me go back and look at, here, let's say in Bills-Toronto series. I'm going to say maybe like 2012, maybe? Let's see. I'm probably wrong on the date, but let's go and I'll give you the games. They played 2008. It was the first one. The Bills lost to the Dolphins 16-3.
It might explain why I don't remember.
On December 7th, 2008.
I would have been
in Toronto.
8 or 9 at that point. So that might explain why I don't remember it.
So that year, that's when they started the Bills-Toronto series. They played the Steelers in the preseason that year, then the Dolphins in the regular season. The next year they played the Jets, they lost again, 19-13. The next year they play a preseason game against the Colts. And then that year they played the Bears and lost 22-19. They had three straight years losing, Dolphins, Jets, Bears. Then they just beat handily the then Redskins, Washington, Halloween weekend in 2011. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think it's the week he breaks his ribs. There's the contract extension right around that time for Fitz. They beat Washington 23-0. Then you have the Seahawks in 2012 was the game, actually. That was, oh my God, what a 50-17. I'm sure a lot of you remember that.
That's the one I remember.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to do this again?
I would never rule that. I don't think so. No. I mean, once Pagula's bought the team, they basically said, like, that's, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
Now,
I was,
could you have
though,
a one-off game outsourced? Sure.
Right.
I don't think you're ever going to have a series like that again, like every year happening, like Jacksonville does with London.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. I think it'd be kind of fun now that, like, it's a completely different team and it's a much better team and, like, you know, I don't know. I just think it'd be interesting to have it there.
I think people are getting very mad at you listening to that right now. Listening to you say that.
Maybe
it'd
not,
be kind of okay, fun to go to Toronto every year. No.
No. Not every year, but like a one-off thing, like you said.
One-off
preseason.
Every once in a while, a preseason, maybe.
Yeah.
What are you gonna? You're not getting Josh Allen probably then if you play preseason though either. You know what I mean?
True.
So.
All right. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe it's not that good of an idea. I think it'd be.
Last one that was played there was the Falcons overtime loss, 34-31. Remember that one? 2013. Then the Pagulas bought the team in 2014, and that's when it ended right there. Bill is in Toronto. Hi, Bill. You're on WGR.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Great. Love the show.
Thank you.
First-time caller.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about the games, Buffalo Bills games at SkyDome.
Yep.
One of them was Buffalo versus Green Bay, and that was August 1997. So it goes
way back. Okay, thank you. I did not realize that. I think you're right. So that wasn't part of the Bills in Toronto series, though.
No, I believe it was because there was Buffalo played Dallas, Atlanta. I don't remember the dates, but there was Dallas, Green Bay.
I don't remember them playing in Toronto in 1997. I'm going to go back and look right now. Hold on a second. Okay, I'm going to look it up right now. Hold on, I could be wrong. I wasn't living here at the time. They played Green Bay. They played at Green Bay in 1997. That game wasn't in Toronto, though. That game might have been in Milwaukee. They did not play the Packers in 1997 in Toronto.
No, it was the American Bowl, 1997.
Oh, preseason maybe?
Could have been.
Okay, that's what it is. It wasn't a regular season game. I think maybe preseason.
It could have been.
I got you. Yeah, thank you for the call. Yeah, But we're talking about in regular season, this didn't start until 2008. And the Bills did play in Germany one time. I think it was Germany, I think, is when they had the early 90s. They played a game out there. There was some other one-off games in different countries. Yes, sorry. So, yeah, maybe that was a preseason game, but they did not play a regular season game. Preseason, by the way, in 1997, I can look this up. Hold on. Let's think about your memory here, Bill. Let's go to the preseason. I got this all right at my fingertips. 1997. I don't know if this site has these games going all the way back there. Preseason. Let's see if we can go to the week. No, I can't. 1990. Okay, let's see. Who did the Bills play in 1997? Broncos. And that was week one. I had to go to week two. I can't find it here. So maybe that was it. Some people out there are going, yeah, don't you remember that, Sal? I don't. If that was back then. The Bills did play. By the way. That's what it was. 1997 was, that's the game that Tasker got kicked out. That was his last game. Let's go to Lee in Buffalo, who's next up. Hi, Lee. What do you think?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah.
Good.
Talking about, like, the Toronto games, I remember them, but I don't remember the teams, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing is, what about, like, season games? I mean, would it be bad? Well, like you said, with the team being this good, send the preseason game over there. I mean,
I don't need to have any game over there, to be quite honest with you. But I mean, if they're going to do it, I have a tweet here for you, Josh. Kevin tweets in, I am not paying a PSL for them to play games in Toronto again. Everything Josh just said makes me want to fight. That's what I mean. You can't come on here and go, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's go back and do it again.
I don't want to say do it regularly. I just, I don't know. I mean, what, how do
how about people... play an away game there?
Okay.
Not take a home game away.
Okay, that's
but I don't know if the league would do that because it's so close, right?
Right. Be like, they
that
wouldn't
be
do
unfair
that,
to the other team.
But that's a better strategy there. You could say, hey, NFL, like maybe put a, I don't know,
I'm making
an away
everyone
game.
Mad at Josh Schmidt today for suggesting the Bills-Toronto series.
It was
this
just
is
a thought.
Headlines,
it wasn't...
WGR host suggests Bills should renew Toronto series. He did not do that. I'm kidding. That is a joke. He did
I
not
just
do
think
that.
Maybe every once in a while, like every 5
yeah,
years.
I get it.
You throw a game over there.
All
you
right.
don't do a home game. I didn't specify that. I'm sorry. I specify it now. If it's an away game.
Oh, now you're going to change to an away game.
Well,
yeah,
I never
I
said
you.
Before if it was away or home. I never specified.
Do I actually don't think it's a terrible idea to, like, every 5 years play a game there if you're going to do international. Because eventually what's going to happen, I know fans are listening going, I can't believe the NFL is doing this. I get it all the time. I get it. I know. You hate games going over to London and Europe. A lot of you do. But the reality is, and the fact is, every team's going to have like one international game a year coming up soon. And to your point, if you're going to do that, maybe have one in Toronto every once in a while if you're going to have one every year. Then you're not going that far. And people could still go to that game. But anyway.
Do people feel that way about the England games? Like that tweet. Right there. Do people feel that
same way? Oh, yeah. Oh, if it's a home game, for sure. People are very upset about taking home games over there.
Okay.
100% they are.
How about this? Like, okay, if we're going to...
Yes.
Because we're getting into the world of PSLs now. Let's say it is a home game. All of the fans that have PSLs, what if they could, like, get ticket access easier than, you know, a normal
Well, if
fan?
It's a home game, you would anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, that's how they would do it.
Like, I didn't know that's how that works.
I'm pretty sure. You guys can tell me if I'm wrong. Pretty sure season ticket holders had first right to do that anyway.
Oh, okay.
You know
I didn't
mean?
Know that.
It's just like when the Bills played in Detroit a couple years ago because of the weather situation, right?
Right.
Like,
yep.
Now, that might have been, I guess, a little bit different, but yeah, I think that's how they would do it. All right. If you have a thought on that, you can share it. Listen, this just started it with a very random thing we were talking about because of the Jacksonville Jaguars and their London series and all of that. This is not something on the table that I even want to dive much into. But if you have a thought on it, you could feel free because the schedule is coming out next week. And it is possible the Bills could play an away game internationally this year. And even Madrid, as someone said, why are we not talking about it? So I guess we could talk about it. You know what? When we come back, here's what we're going to do. When we come back, I will tell you all of the NFL international games this year. There are 7 of them. The Bills are actually a possible opponent in 4 of them, to be quite honest with you. That's up next here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.